Jesus wore the best. Jesus wore the best. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Bible Stories. Jesus wore the best. Everywhere that Jesus went throughout his ministry, he wore a seamless garment. Now, the seamless garment was prepared for him by the person who makes those garments. But the garments being made, they knew from the very beginning it was being made for an ideal being. Whoever was the garment maker, he knew that the garment he was creating, he would never be paid for in dollars. He'll never be paid for in substance. He would be paid for in the inner wealth of doing something absolutely magnificent. The greatest painting can never have its true wealth or true value. The most beautiful house an architect could create never has its true value given to it for that. Because it goes beyond money. It goes beyond numbers. It goes beyond anything that we can say that's what it's worth. Because it's worth far greater. The seamless garment that Jesus had was worth more than anyone could pay in those days for a garment. But it was made by a garment maker who had one thing in mind. He was going to create a masterpiece. He was going to create something that was beautiful, that expresses his absolute love. That was his seamlessness. That was his perfection. That was his goodness. Jesus was teaching his disciples they did not deserve the best. They were the best. And so when they cloaked themselves with the best, they could do anything they wanted to do. No matter what they were expecting of themselves, no matter what they were expecting of the world, they could do anything they wanted to do because they were worthy of that seamless garment. Now, only Jesus had that seamless garment. The disciples didn't have it. Why didn't they have it? Why don't we hear of other beings like kings and other beings, the head of the various tribes and so forth, having the seamless garment? None of them had it. It was a rarity beyond all measure. And at the time that Jesus was ending his experience on this planet Earth, as far as a man goes, his garment was ripped asunder. And this is what we do, because it has only one cause, only one purpose. Now, should another come along ready and able to wear that seamless garment, he would have his own seamless garment. It would not be necessary to have the seamless garment that someone else had or that was made for somebody else. All seamless garments, all perfection is made for ourselves. Now, we are the best. Jesus clothed himself with the very best. He lived a life of symbology. He lived a life of being a symbol, being a way shower. He was the example for all humanity. He was example for all who would listen. Now, true, he had a very small following. He had a very small cortege about him. And these people about him did not appreciate how great they were, how great they had to be in the presence of the Master. Now, if you are not wise, you do not recognize when you are with a wise man. When you are at the university, you associate with other poor students or students who are learning? Or do you associate with the teachers? Do you associate with the way showers? Do you associate with the examples who are already there? I tell the story of Dr. Hutchins at the University of Chicago. And there were a few students who were called out of the membership of the university classes. And they were called out to come and eat with the president and with a few of the major teachers, the outstanding teachers. and do nothing but rattle the cage. Just do nothing but shake ideas and share ideas and talk among themselves. I had the privilege of being there a number of times at these dinners. There was only about, oh, maybe seven students that were invited to do that. And it was a privilege. I respected that privilege, and I was honored by that privilege. But I wasn't so much delighted as being chosen above anybody else. I was delighted because I was sitting among the masters, and I was thinking thoughts with the masters, and they were causing me to probe into my mind for a depth that was not always evident to me. They knew the depth was there because it was the depth in themselves. And when they caused that depth to come forth from me, they made me into more aware how wonderful the divine in me is and how I live that divine. Throughout my life as a teacher and a sharer, I have challenged the students who have come into my presence with being their divine self, with liking themselves, with looking at the world and seeing it beautiful, with looking at all of life and seeing it glorious and beautiful and fantastic. And as I have challenged them, I have been put down by them many times. Even though they are ready to receive the wisdom, the sharing, the genius that I was ready to give to them, they still put that down. Now, why did they put it down? Because if they held it up one little bit, one tiny little bit, they would have been living it, and they would have had to let go of all the old ideas that said they couldn't do it. They would have been living those beautiful thoughts that were blossoming out from within themselves, and live it every moment, and no longer have any opportunity for self-pity or the feeling that they could not do something or they did not have the wisdom to do it. Within them, they had this wisdom, they had this knowledge, they had this genius, and they moved forward gloriously. Those who have been with me the longest, those who stand with me even as they walk away and live the principle that we share. These are the principles that Jesus taught. These are the principles that Hutchinson, the president of the University of Chicago, taught, and the various teachers who were the outstanding teachers in the field of philosophy and religion and theology and all the other areas who were invited to those dinners. And they weren't conducting themselves as a matter of challenging the students, of challenging them to find out what they know and what they are, but rather to sparkle new ideas, sparkle new thoughts, just like the woman at Harvard now is coming up with the idea of the cosmology of the universe. And she says that truly only 94% of the universe is invisible. Only 4% is visible. 4% is the world that we know, the energy that we know, the things that we know, and 94% is unknown. But she says, we are approaching the time when it'll be known. Now, when will that 94% of all the universe that is called the dark universe or the black universe, when is that going to be known? That is known to every being on the face of the earth who says, I know that I know that I know. The divine in me is the answer. No matter what subject, no matter what attitude, no matter what thinking ever takes place in the world, when we recognize that we know, and this is what this Harvard professor is saying. She is the first woman professor in this field to be at Harvard, and she is noted and understood worldwide for her magic in knowing about the infinite cosmos, about the infinite allness. We'll hear a lot more about her because she is bringing forth ideas. She is being the way-shower into the path of the infinite. And As a wayshore, she may not have her ordination. As a minister, she may not have a metaphysical attitude about things. She calls it physical. She calls it the physics of the universe. But what is it that she's doing? She's listening to the divine within her. She's listening to the allness within her. And she knows from there on forever that all is known right now. Just as Jesus said, seek, knock, ask, and it is there for you right now. It's not a matter of later, not a matter of the past, the future, but only the present. For right now we truly do know all things. Right now we truly are the greatness that we are. And the Master, in his seamless garment, represented that. You, in your seamless mind, in your seamless genius, represent that. And it is done now. Enjoy this magical time out of the life of Jesus in the now. And know that as you stand there in your seamless garment, your body, your temple of the living God, you are without equal anywhere. You are beyond comparison. You are the allness expressing now. Delight in that, for that is your truth, that's your reality, and that's all that matters. I love you. Oh, I love you. As the Master Teacher would say, I love you.